God Calling to Man by John Lincoln Brandt. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Genesis 3:9. The biblical narrative opens with a picture of the good shepherd seeking the lost sheep, the father searching for the lost child. Hear him call to our first parent, "Adam, where art thou?" The speaker is God, the creator, preserver, and redeemer of man. The person addressed is Adam, our common ancestor. Adam, the first man, the representative of the human race. Adam, made in the image of his creator. That image consisting in his immortality, his intellectual powers, his affection, his liberty of life, his moral and spiritual qualities. The summons is personal. In this call of God to mankind, we find a direct and personal appeal to the individual, as much so as if it read, "Thou art the man." 2 Samuel 12:7. It should be applied to ourselves as much as to Adam. Adam is our representative. It is a substitute name for each one of ours. It is the call of the ages. It is universal in its application. This call first rang out in the Garden of Eden more than 6,000 years ago, but it has come down through the ages, first addressed through Moses and the prophets, now delivered by Christ and the apostles. This call is delivered to the whole human race. It is just as direct as if the Lord had said, "Moses, where art thou? David, where art thou? Peter, where art thou?" Adam is no worse than the average sinner. His conduct is evidence that God's presence was still intact in his soul, and in his sin and shame, he tried to hide himself from God. He declares that he hid himself because he was ashamed. God's presence was a terror to him. Sin must have made a terrible change in that the new-made man was now afraid of his God. Why was he fearful? He had eaten of the forbidden fruit. He had transgressed the law. He had despised the goodness of God. He also declared that he was naked, and therefore he was ashamed. It was not so much the nakedness of his body, but his unclothed soul that burdened him. There was no shame until he made shame. Shame makes the sinner shrink from God, wish there was no God, wish that God could not see him, or wish that he could hide away from God and cover up his sin. Thus, in the fear of God and the shame of sin, Adam is a good representative of the human race. He endeavors to hide himself amongst the trees of the garden. But what trees are large enough under which the human soul may seek refuge from its God? Some try to hide behind the trees of rationalism. Some hide away and endeavor to hide themselves behind the trees of worldly pleasure. Some behind the trees of theological traditions, dogmas, and human confessions. And some behind the trees of an indistinct belief in universal salvation. But alas, poor hiding places. Such an attempt at hiding is impossible. God's eyes run to and fro through the earth, and his presence is everywhere. How does God call to man? God called through Noah, Abraham, and Moses. He called through the greater and lesser prophets. We hear that call in the preaching of John the Baptist. We hear it ringing out clear and strong in the preaching of Christ and the apostles. You can scarcely read a page in the New Testament scriptures without feeling in your conscience that God is calling to you. We read it in the Sermon on the Mount and the parable of the lost sheep. We read how Christ wept over Jerusalem. As you read the record of his sufferings, you can hear the voice of God calling to you. Sometimes God speaks through the conscience. you have a faculty in your mind that sits in judgment on your every action. It enables you to discern between that which you believe to be right and that which you believe to be wrong, and constrains you to do that which you believe to be right, and restrains you from doing that which you believe to be wrong. This is a faculty that recognizes God and convinces you that you will have to stand before Him sometime and answer for the deeds done in your body. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Conscience warns us to turn from sin and to live righteously. It is an entire court to us, including the judge, the witnesses, the jury, and the prosecutor. Sometimes God speaks so loud through conscience that it disturbs the midnight slumbers and gives no rest until peace is made with both man and God. God also calls through the events of divine providence. The Bible may be left unread. The church may be forsaken. The warnings of conscience may be stifled. But God may then speak in the events of His divine providence with such emphasis that His voice will be heard. Nebuchadnezzar did not recognize God until he had been deposed from his throne, his glory taken from him, and he was driven to make his dwelling place in the field and eat grass with the oxen and to have his body wet with the dews of heaven. It was then that he acknowledged that God ruled in the kingdom and would appoint over it whomsoever he would. Have you been prosperous? Have you the power to make money? The Bible declares that God gave you that power. Have you had length of days? The Bible declares that God has given to you life and health and all things. Have you loved ones? Are they not jewels that God has entrusted to your care? Has He not blessed you by supplying your needs and sent sunshine and rain, given mercies new every morning and fresh every evening? God is our refuge and strength. The only safe refuge for mankind is in Christ Jesus. He seeks all mankind, calls every person from among the trees, as if to say, "Adam, where are you? I am searching for you, wherever you may be. I will look for you, and I will follow you until my arms encircle you. I will call out for you until you answer. I will reach out with my mercy until I can bring you home." God has a habit of pursuing mankind. He pursued Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden by His voice. He pursued Jonah on the ocean deep by His wind. He pursued David by His prophet Nathan. He pursued Ahab by the man of God, Elijah. He pursued Herod by John the Baptist, and He is pursuing you by His word, His spirit, His divine providence, His people. Our response should be, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." 1 Samuel 3:10. "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" Acts 9:6. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Luke 18:13. "Lord, here am I, send me." Isaiah 6:8. "Where art thou?" is an inquiry addressed to each one of us. Are you near to your Father or far from Him? Are you in the sunshine of God's presence or hiding behind some shadow? Are you traveling the narrow path that leads to eternal life or the broad road that leads to destruction? Where do you stand on the question of God, the Bible, and the question of heaven? Will you hear the voice of God and come forth from your hiding places that you may again enjoy peace with God, communion with Christ, fellowship with His people, and the blessed hope of heaven? Christians, where are you on the subject of soul saving? If Christ is all and all to your soul, should you not desire to have Him become all in all to the souls of others? If you have had your thirst for God quenched, ought you not to hand the water of everlasting life to those around you? If you have been redeemed by the Son of God, ought you not to seek the redemption of others? Is it time that you were renewing your energies and redoubling your efforts for the salvation of your loved ones? Have you friends near and dear to you still out of the kingdom? Will you let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at tfionline.com.